I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hey, it's Friday morning in New York City. What is up? It is the Boomer and Geo program on the Fan. We are not on television, not till 7:30. CBS Sports Network, they're running some soccer game from Australia. That sounds awesome. We're coming to live from the Built Ford Tubbs studio. The guys are off, their final day off until they come back on Monday. And he was so good yesterday, we decided to have him back for another day. The guy to my left, Mr. Yankee, the Yankee Clipper. We call him C-Mac because it's Clipper McMonagle. That's right. And he sure had himself a night late last night as he was out at Yankee Stadium watching that unbelievable comeback. His name is Chris McMonagle. What's up, C-Mac?
Whoa! What's up, Jerry? I'm feeling good today.
Someone's excited.
Oh, man. Yes, you thought yesterday I was insufferable. Today, my goodness, what a win for the New York Yankees. The best of the season by far. And just continue to add up all the things we've been waiting for this team to do over the last couple days. Add another one. This team has not come from behind at all this year. They haven't.
Well, they did in Toronto. They just didn't
win. Didn't finish off and get the win. Correct. But they haven't come back and won a game where they've been down by more than three runs. Last night, it's five after being no hit through seven. They come out there in the eighth. They get two from the Stanton home run. And then the at-bats, Jerry. The at-bats in the ninth inning. And we know now they had a little help with a little bit of a tell on the sliders. But the at-bats in the ninth inning were something that we haven't seen from this team strung together. Even while they've been scoring a ton of runs. It was a thing of beauty. It was a great victory. It's the best win of the year. It's four games in a row. And everything has seemed to change since that play in left field by Cody Bellinger against the Mets and that double play. From that moment on, the Yankees recognize it's time to make tough decisions with aging players. They're putting the right players in the right positions. They're scoring a ton of runs. They're coming from behind. The Williams, the closer on the mound in the 10th. Everything was perfect last night, Jerry.
It's hard to argue. It really is. I mean, you know, you're watching that game, and I'm not going to lie to you. I went to bed. Sixth inning, I had enough. I will be honest with you, too. The pitching early, I mean, Marcus, I can't take it. Every batter's 3-2, and it's such a grind. And they're talking about, if the umpire is not going to give him the – and there were some pitches that were strikes that were called balls, I get it, that were right on the edge, and you do feel for him in that way. But even Paul O'Neill's like, if they're not going to give him that pitch, it's going to be a long night. It's tough to watch, but whatever. Sixth inning.
He can't live in the zone at all. He does not have the stuff to live in the zone.
And he doesn't throw hard enough, all of that, understood. Yeah. So I checked out. And I knew it was a no-hitter, but I also didn't expect it to be one. And then I wake up and I find out, and I watched the last three innings when I got here this morning. You know, the first thing you see is Yankees no-hit into the – I'm like, wow, he took that into the – it's so funny, too. So the kid, he no-hit innings, seven no-hit innings, and he's got two strikes on Jazz.
Yes.
And then you get the base hit through the little hole on the right side. And what does Rice do? Come next batter, base hit. It's like they couldn't buy a hit, and then they get two in a row. And don't – this sounds stupid, and I know that given the fact that you had the Stanton home run and you also had the Wells hit and you had the Judge sack fly, but the Volpe slide, probably the best part of that play.
Yep.
It sounds like nothing, but the sack fly just to get on the board at 5-0 kind of gets you going a little bit. And then I heard this little note, too. And I know he's been a starter, so it makes sense, but the first pinch hit home run of Giancarlo Stanton's career.
He's been terrible
about
at it.
That?
Yeah, no, he's been terrible at it, and Boone talked to it. It's a different role for him, but, you know, throughout most of his career,
he plays.
So it's the odd day. Like, this is now going to have to start to be something he does regularly because he's just not a necessarily everyday player, but eventually I think he'll get there. But, yeah, and the thing about it, too, Jerry, with the no-hitter, is I talk about how this felt different. It felt exactly the same for a lot of the game because you said to me out in the newsroom, The first two batters, he can't throw a strike.
I know.
He get the Yankees start after scoring all these runs.
Yeah.
This great pitching staff that we hear about Seattle. Wu's had this incredible year. He comes out. He can't throw a strike. First two guys up and Judge up with nobody out and first two runners on. And they squander that opportunity.
Big time.
And then they get no hit for the next six innings. And you're like, no, I've seen this script before. Yeah. I've seen this exact game from the New York Yankees.
And it also felt, watching it again through the sixth inning, it felt like, hey, we won the first two games of the series. This kid's dominating.
Right.
And I know the guys are going up there trying to hit. Get that.
Right.
But it just felt like one of those, you know what? We won the series.
Yeah.
Let's move. And yet, no, there was a lot of fight from this team.
Fight, Jerry.
And it's four in a row now. And you are right. Maybe this team has righted the ship. Again, big weekend coming up against the Cubs.
Yep.
But you have to love what they've done the last four games. Still two out, but that to me means nothing in July. And they're across the board. You got good at bat after good at bat. And let's, Volpe strikes out on the one I thought was a bad pitch. It was probably borderline,
but
whatever.
Yeah.
He has then he's got an opportunity. He flies out. But then he starts the inning at second base with the ghost runner, which I can't stand, after Devin Williams was fantastic in the top half.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got Volpe. He ends up at third base with the, I know they tried to bunt, and then you get the intentional walk in the walk. So you got the bases loaded. That ball is not hit far.
Nope.
That is a damn good center fielder. And the fact that he makes, I mean, a hell of a slide. I know it ain't going to get the fans off his back for long.
Mm-mm.
But he essentially wins that game last night.
No. It was a terrific slide. And, yeah, there's a like we know Dominguez can run, Jazz can run, Volpe can run. That's part of the athleticism of this team that we were looking forward to when the pivot was made off of Juan Soto. But, yeah, no, you have to take that chance. Absolutely. It doesn't matter how shallow it is. You got to take the chance to score there. And his ability to give that slide, it wasn't so much the prototypical, like, swim where you really give out the left and then go to the right, but it was an incredible slide. He's a very good base runner. He does do some things well, believe it or not. And yeah, absolutely, that moment. And what I hate about replay, by far, my least favorite thing about replay is end of game situations like that are in the balance. Like, you can't celebrate in the moment. You even saw it from the Yankees. There was a very tempered, they didn't even jump out of the dugout to start. Like, you have to wait until that replay, and the ball beat him. The ball beat him by
for
a
sure.
mile.
And it was a good throw.
It was a good throw. The ball beat him by a mile. I thought he was going to be called out. You know, pessimistic Yankee fan. I thought that was going to be an out. And to see that slide and for it to be Volpe, and he had an opportunity in the ninth, like you said. Yep. He was unable to come through. But still, important slide, huge part of the win. Hopefully this could be something that can spark him. You know, people have been sparked by weirder things.
Yep.
So hopefully this is something that can turn it around. I did see a lot of Yankee fans on Twitter, because I do monitor Yankee Twitter because I'm insane. They were a little bit acknowledging, hey, great slide. You got to give him credit where credit is due. Wish he would have come through in the ninth, and he still can't hit, but that was a very impressive slide from Volpe.
And I know we'll get to the Mets next hour. I'm not going to spend much time on them right now, but you know, I think you're right that, like, one thing can get a guy going in the other direction. I was listening to the first game of the Met game, and Anthony Recker was doing the game on radio, and he was talking about when Vientos hits the double, you know, maybe this, because he wasn't expecting to play. You had the injury with Winker. You know, maybe this is the thing. You never know when it comes.
Right.
And I don't know about Vientos, but perhaps there can be some carryover. Volpe comes in a little more confident today, feels pretty good about himself, and maybe we will look back the same way we just might look back on the Bellinger play and say where the season turned. Maybe, just maybe, that's the type of play that gets Volpe going in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you hope. You hope he can do it. The general manager already come out and spoke to the fact that he's going to be the solution more than the problem. He's not going anywhere. He is the Yankee shortstop. That's not going to change, at least for the rest of this year. And they need him to be better because, you know, you watch the games. I'm sorry. Like, I'm hoping it can spark him, but 2-0 counts, fastball counts, getting beat. You know, he's just, the swing's a little heavy. He's trying to do too much. He's clearly in his own head. He's been hitting, you know, 150 for the last month and a half. Like, it's bad. So hopefully this can be something that can spark him, because they need a better play. And they need someone to lay down the bunt, Jerry.
They tried.
You mentioned
they
it.
They tried.
Oh, my God. If you're going to hit .110 and literally be like the 324th player in Major League Baseball out of 327, you better lay down the bunt, Peraza. Oh, my God. It drove me absolutely nuts.
I don't. You know, it's one thing the older guys will call up and talk about. We don't bunt enough.
I know.
Don't bunt enough. And they're probably not
Nobody
wrong in
does.
Some degree. But I do think there are times when it's warranted to do it, depending upon the stage of the game, who's up. But no one works on it.
No.
So it's almost like, and I know they're major leaguers, they're making a lot of money, they should know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not a focus anywhere. So then when you ask a guy to go up there and do it, and he pops it up. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what you get.
He takes a fastball low in the zone and doesn't bunt that, and then bunts the slider that was up and puts it in the air. Very frustrating, but ultimately just a classic, classic win with classic at-bats. And then the idea that I know some people, I'm sure, if I was doing the overnight show, I'd get a ton of calls about, oh, it's tainted because of, you know, the tipping of the pitches.
So this is to me, and I really don't want to get into a conversation about cheating this morning because, but this, where's the line? Mm-hmm. So personally, I don't care. If you're tipping pitches, you're tipping pitches. Right. And if the guy at second base is going to wave his arms on every slider you throw, that's on you to figure 100%. It out. I believe that. You know, are we going obviously a little far with electronics and buzzer? For sure. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's the same effing thing. You're telling the batter what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally don't care. I think it's on the pitcher and the catcher to be able to either disguise and hide or not tip or flinch. Now, I couldn't tell exactly what it was. My guess was, the way I kept watching it, it seemed like to me, he was bringing the glove down further with the slider, and when he was throwing the fastball, he kept the glove higher towards his throat. I don't know, but they clearly did know. And what was interesting, too, was because I actually went to this morning when I saw this might be a story. I went to the Mariners TV broadcast, and I went and watched that ninth inning with them. I'm not even sure who I was listening to, but it was a male and a female doing the game, and they never brought it up at all. But what was interesting is I kept going back and watching it, trying to pick up the little tells that maybe the Yankees noticed, was they didn't do it on changeups. It was just sliders, which is interesting because you can, you know, well, was it Wells with the base at the tie of the game? Right.
The best whole part of the inning and the best at bat was Wells. And to your point, everyone's getting sliders. Sliders. No hand movement typically means fastball. And he takes
but
a changeup.
But there change were changeups.
There were changeups. They threw a couple of changeups. And that was a great at bat. And it was a great take that it was a 2-2 changeup that Kyle
that was
Raleigh,
over the plate, but
that
down.
Was a strike. Yes. And Kyle Raleigh didn't catch it well enough. He caught it going down, so he didn't get the call. But it was actually in the zone. That was the best take of it. But yeah, to your point, like this isn't, there is a line. And the line is, first off, don't let anybody on second base. Second of all, because that's the only time you can actually acknowledge, you know, get the, this isn't the same thing as the Astros. This isn't pounding trash cans, taking it off monitors. This is the players on the field recognizing whether it was, there was some thought that Jack Curry was talking in the postgame that the guy from second base could see the grip, that he wasn't covering
his
glove.
Maybe that's what it was.
He wasn't covering his glove enough, and they could see the grip when he was holding the ball for sliders, but I would, you know, and just you get the thing for sliders and you know the fastball's not going to have a wave. But this isn't stealing it off of screens. This is players on the field recognizing something you are doing, that you are giving away what you're throwing and then relaying it on the field. This has been done
all
for 100 years.
But this is where I say the line is blurred a little bit.
Yeah.
The bottom line, though, is you're telling the batter what's coming.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, no matter how you do it, the bottom line is you're telling the batter what the pitcher's throwing.
Yeah, but here's the difference. The pitcher's telling the batter what. Munoz is the one doing
Whether you're doing it that way or you're stealing the catcher's signs, what the hell's the difference? You're telling the batter what's coming. There's 17 different ways you can get to the same exact conclusion.
Yeah, of course, but there's different. I could pass the bar exam or I can cheat off the guy next to me. Either way, I pass the test. Like, there's different ways to go to the end result. Like,
and let me be clear, I don't care.
I get you. And listen, we Yankee fans, we all know what happened in the 2001 World Series when Andy Pettitte gave up 14 runs in three innings. Well, he was tipping his pitches.
Exactly right.
Like, there is a difference between using cameras and trying to get a look at a catcher's signals and then rallying, you know, relying it from the bench with bangs than being on the field, having a pitcher give the, like,
not arguing with you.
It's on Munoz.
Yes.
So,
the end result is still the same, though.
Well,
the batter still knows what's coming.
Correct.
So, but whatever. I don't want to get into that conversation because it shouldn't.
A difference. There is a difference between being able to pick it up on the field and players do it.
There is a difference, but there's also
1870 that could have been done. 1870 the Astros couldn't have cheated the way they cheated.
All right, well, 1870 didn't have replay that wouldn't have changed things. I mean, the game does change. So
I gotcha.
Is a nonsensical comment.
Well, no, but. The game changes in what aspect? It's the same number of same
technology feet, changes same, things.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's still what my point is, the cheating process.
Okay, steroids, amphetamines. Yes. No one gives a crap about amphetamines.
Correct.
You're still cheating.
Correct.
But we decide that, nah, the line, that's fine.
Right.
Why? Why is that fine? Guys are out boozing it up all night. They would have been crap the next morning if they didn't pop pills.
That's
cheating. But no one cares about that. We got a million Hall of Famers that are, you know, in Cooperstown that were popping pills just to get through a game.
Sure.
But no one cares about that. But whatever. Again, the Yankee win last night was fantastic. There's a lot of different ways to like what you saw. And this does, too. You know, there's so much about the trade deadline coming up and what they need, what they don't need. The thing to me that is clear, and we talked about it yesterday and we'll continue to discuss, they need to be a little bit better in spots. There's no question about it. This team, though, is really good. Mm-hmm. And I know the stretch they went through was awful, but that to me was the exception and not the rule. The rule is what they've been for 90% of the season.
Yep.
And that's one of the top teams in baseball. And I think you've said it. I think it was you. Maybe it was Brandon. I'm not even sure. But one of you Yankee guys were talking about, like, enjoy the ride a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, October has been difficult. We get it. But if you're going to sit here and just poo-poo everything they do in the regular season, then what's the point?
Yeah. No, that's a lot of Yankee fans, and I've been, you know, in the crosshairs of Yankee fans sometimes because I point that out. Like, we focus too much. Like, here's my point with it sometimes, because I remember I think Gio talked about it. Passan came out with that comment about every time I hear Yankee fans complain, oh, shut up, you could be the Pirates and everything like that, and, you know, forget the World Series or bust mentality. I don't necessarily want to forget the World Series or bust mentality. I just can't bring it to every game in June and July.
I agree.
They can't win the World Series. If you're going to hold them to the standard of it's World Series or bust in a series in June against Cincinnati, in a series against the Boston Red Sox in July, like, no matter what they do, they can't appease you. They can't do it for you in June or July. So it makes it impossible to enjoy the year when you view every win as, oh, they better do that, and every loss as this is a clear indication on the failures that will ultimately cost them in the World Series.
Right.
Like, it's an impossible way to go about 162 games. And I feel like last night, like, if you leave that game going, but they were no hit, and, you know, Boone changed the lineup that scored 19 runs in the first two games, and what the hell is he allowing Beeter to face Polanco in the sixth inning for? Like, if you're going to view the game through that and not acknowledge what the Yankees did last night, you're not doing yourself any favors as a base. This is supposed to be fun, Jerry.
We're supposed to
enjoy this.
I agree.
And sometimes Yankee fans with these hot, lofty and fair expectations, I'm not saying they're unfair, but it makes it impossible to be a fan and enjoy the ride. I want to enjoy the ride.
You should. You got 162 of these things before October comes. And then if you want to take that mentality, especially since they're there every year, you know, and maybe that's part of the problem is that you take it too much for granted that they're going to win between 90 and 100 games every single year. And every single year they're going to be in the postseason. And sure, they have failed in the playoffs every year since 2009. I certainly understand that. But I also know that they give you, as a fan, a hell of a lot of good nights through April, May, June, July, and August, and then even into September, that just kind of watch and enjoy.
Absolutely. And I say this to Yankee fans, too. I say, you're a Yankee fan. I don't know what other teams you root for, but they do better by you than almost, I can guarantee you, they do better than by you than any other team you root for. Like, it's,
oh, I agree.
I mean, it's just, unless you're what, a Kansas City Chiefs fan, unless you're a Patriots fan, unless you're, like, other than that, the Yankees do pretty good by you. But that doesn't change the fact they've really struggled. And I don't disagree with you that they're a good team, but we didn't talk enough about it yesterday. I don't know, or, you know, we could talk about it more. Brian Cashman's direct tone about needing to make changes.
Yeah.
Like, he has been throughout the years a little bit more like, well, listen, I like what we have in the room, but sure, I'll always look to upgrade. I mean, he came out the other day and was very much, I'm looking at a starter. We've lost three starters from our World Series rotation. You know, we need arms in the bullpen. I'm going to look to try and improve third base. And it was very much like, I'm in. And he hasn't really given that tone. So while I'm thrilled this morning, it's a four-game winning streak. Last night was the best win of the year. It was extremely exciting. This team is now showing you different elements and this last one of finally coming back and finishing off the game was new to this team this year. There are still issues. They do need, as you saw, Beeter getting important at bats in this game, and he's just not that kind of guy. They need arms in the bullpen. They still need things to accomplish at this trade deadline, but I think they put behind them the terrible play from a couple weeks ago, and hopefully they can take this forward and be what they were for, as you say, 90% of the season, which is one of the top teams in the American League, if not all of baseball.
All right. When we come back, Lopresti decided to go to Hershey, so he is out. We've got Peter Schwartz that is going to join us. Did an hour with Al this morning, which I don't think went poorly. We will get to the Mets coming up at 7 o'clock. At some point this morning, too, we're going to talk about the Met viewing domination of the Yankees, and we've got some other things across the board for you as well. We'll get to your calls, too, at 888-808-1019. C-Mac and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo on The Fan.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, guys are out. Welcome back inside the Built Ford Tough studio. They will be back on Monday. It is C-Mac and Jerry in for them. What did Jeffrey Ross call us? The replacements? The fill-ins? What do you call us?
I don't know. I wasn't here.
Oh, you weren't here.
No.
Oh, it was Willie.
I'm sorry.
What do you call us? You remember?
It wasn't the replacements. It was...
Second team? That was something.
B team?
Maybe fill-ins. The fill-ins.
Maybe the fill-ins, I suppose.
Or the subs.
Subs, that was it.
Is that what it was?
The subs.
Subs, which is fine.
That's fine.
So we're all subbing except for you two. And subbing for me is one Peter Schwartz, who joined us this morning. What's up, Peter?
Oh, good morning, guys. This report brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We'll begin in the Bronx, where it certainly looked like the Yankees' three-game winning streak was going to come to an end. They were down 5-0. And they were being no-hit by Brian Wu going to the bottom of the eighth, but Jazz Chisholm broke it up with a leadoff single. Austin Wells, a sacrifice fly. The Yankees on the board. Giancarlo Stanton, a pinch-hit two-run homer to make it 5-3. Then in the ninth, Austin Wells with a two-out, two-run single off closer Andres Munoz. And then came the 10th.
Bases full, 10th inning, 5-5 game, 1-1. Judge, high fly ball. Center field, will it be deep enough? Rodriguez comes in, makes the catch. Volpe tags, throw home on a line, tag! Save! 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 Aaron Judge wins the game on a bang, bang play at the plate.
Emmanuel Barbari filling in.
You can sit on my face.
Emmanuel Barbari filling in for Dave Sims here on The Fan. The Yankees finish off the sweep with their fourth straight win, beating the Mariners 6-5 in 10 innings. First time the Yankees have won when trailing by at least 5 runs since they beat Texas on June 29th, 2016. And the Yankees had been 0-35 this season when trailing through 8 innings.
I also think the number was a team being, I know this is ridiculous because how many no-hitters through 7 are there, but a team being no-hit through 7, I think, was 0-235. I believe something like that, and down by 5 runs. So.
Yeah, and then
cool.
And then the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1977 were the last team to come back in this fashion, being hit through through 7 and down 5 runs.
It's incredible.
So again, maybe it's 1-235 then, yes.
And it kind of happened slowly but surely, and the Yankees wind up getting it done. But the play at the plate was close. It went to video review, but Aaron Judge knew that Volpe got in there.
I saw it live. I thought he was safe, but you know, they're going to challenge no matter what, but... just impressive. What a great slide. nobody else had won a third in a situation like that besides Wolf.
And you are right with the replay. We talk about it with the football season. Like, you can't celebrate until, like, you're just waiting for that flag to come up on the score bug. At least in this case, you had to wait.
And you know what else I find funny about this whole thing? If I were a Mariners fan, you know what I'd be most annoyed at? Like, today, the most thing that would bother me the most is what the hell are they going to... going to the phone to find out if they should challenge.
He's like,
you have to.
Hold. No, you don't have to. Look at it. I don't care. I don't have to. It's the last
the game's
play of the
over.
Game.
Who cares? Right?
Why are you even asking? Why? I'm like, this guy's a dope. What could they possibly say? No, don't do it. He's safe. I don't care. I'm going to take my chances.
What's incredible is that I saw on Twitter this morning, somebody has a still shot of the exact moment that Cal Raleigh catches the ball. And you see where Volpe is?
7-8 feet.
The fact that he got in there safe is incredible.
Incredible. Incredible.
I mean, you could say what you want about Volpe, but that was
a great
incredible slide.
And to be fair, the tag should come more to the base than out towards the runner, but
It's a long throw.
It's a long throw. It was a little bit too far to the first base side, but pretty much a ball that beats him by a mile, and it was an incredible slide. But yeah, I would be furious. I'm like, I have an idiot for a manager. I'm not even thinking about asking. It's immediate. Go look at it.
Of course.
Now, going back to the Stanton home run, it was the first time in his career that he had a pinch hit home run.
That was good, especially. Yeah, I haven't pitch hit too much and haven't been the greatest at it either. So, yeah, it was good.
Now, Cody Bellinger extended his hitting streak to 15 games, the second time he's done that this season, the first Yankee to do that since Derek Jeter in 2012.
Nice.
And now the Yankees open up a series with the Cubs tonight at the stadium. Jazz Chisholm named to participate in the Home Run Derby at the All-Star Game. I'm not a fan of that. Chris and I talked about it.
A lot of Yankee fans don't want any of their guys in any of these things. I don't understand why. Like, I guess the fear is
injury. Well, I want the best ones in there. I want Judge
there. Oh, so you want Judge in there.
No, I want Judge.
I think there's a lot of Yankee fans who wouldn't want Judge in the Home Run Derby either.
But that's more of a fundamental problem that I have with the whole competition is that if you're going to have Home Run Derby, you have to have the best guys in there. So why can't you have Judge versus Raleigh in the one American League? And then the top two guys in National League and the two winners meet in the final and streamline the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm just like, I saw a bunch of Yankee fans like, oh, this is the worst. Why would Jazz be in this? I don't want him messing up his swing. He's already got a sore shoulder. Like, yeah, I want the Yankee. I'd like to see Yankees in the All-Star game and the festivities. Let's see. He might win the whole damn thing.
Well, he might, but he's not the best home run. He's not one of the two best home run hitters in the American League. So I would just like that system fixed.
I hear you.
Clark Schmidt to undergo Tommy John surgery today, second time in his career. He'll undergo that procedure. And now to a lost day for the Mets.
Well, it's the righty Urias who we started with last inning.
Stop it. I'm going to get him in before you get to the Mets. Here's Anthony in West Haven. What's up, Anthony?
Listen, it's so frustrating because these Yankees just can't do fundamental baseball. They cannot bunt the ball.
Most guys can't bunt the ball, Anthony. This is not a Yankee issue. I know what you're saying.
Anthony, on the biggest win of the season, you called in at 6 o'clock in the morning to say it's so frustrating. They just won 4 in a row.
I appreciate that. I love the fact that we won last night, but it didn't have to be that dramatic. All we have to do is bunt over of Lopey. He's on third with one out.
You are not wrong. I know what you're saying. I get it. It is a league-wide problem, though. This is not a Yankee
100%.
Issue. It's not. Most guys don't bunt and can't bunt. They should.
No.
They can't.
And particularly, look, now, I don't know if it's just the Yankees, but if Peraza wants to be on this team, like, this is where, like, you could blame the organization and fine. You could blame the coaching staff. Fine. I'm not saying they're void of blame. But isn't there some sort of personal responsibility as a professional player?
I agree with you.
When you understand who you are and what your role is on this team, and you might, if you're lucky enough to not be pinch hit for in that spot, there's a chance that you might have to lay down a bunt. Yep. Take it upon yourself to go out there and learn how to bunt. Like, it drives me nuts, but we'll blame the Yankees. But your point is, we watch series all over the place. The Cincinnati Reds, led by the great Terry Francona, couldn't lay down a bunt and forgot how many outs there were on the base paths. I mean, it happens all the time.
Right,
all
we're
over
so
Met
Yankee-centric because it happens all over. And as you say, the Mariners' manager last night's a moron.
Yeah.
At the end.
So, what is he doing?
Right.
And listen, Rodriguez drops an easy fly ball that leads to a double.
Can you imagine if that was Judge in a big spot in this series and they wound up losing the game? All we hear about is...
He dropped the ball.
Right.
We'd hear that. We'd hear Booney ball. He has them unprepared. He's okay dropping the ball because the manager doesn't kill him for it. Like, it's all okay.
The bunting thing is just...
I agree.
It's insane. Like, you have to learn how to do it. And if you get to... The minor leagues, you don't know how to do it.
And you know what else makes me laugh? Because you remember after the 23 season and Steinbrenner had the press conference and he was pushed on what changes in the organization. He's like, well, we're going to make some changes. You know, I think we're going to emphasize on bunting. And I remember for 3 days, we all laughed at Steinbrenner.
Right.
Like, oh my God, those are the changes? You missed the playoffs for the first time since 2016 and you're going, we need to bunt better? Ha ha ha. I wish they would have listened.
Yeah, but if his father said it back in the day, it would have gotten done.
Well, of course.
You know, the Yankees had a bunter. They let him go. Juan Soto. Guy laid down a beautiful bunt.
Yeah, and then he hustles down to first base after.
Yeah, and hustles in right field, too.
Yeah.
Now to a lost day for the Mets.
Here's the righty Urias, who we started with last inning. First and third, two outs. First pitch hit hard to third. Off of Beatty's glove. It drops. He cannot pick it up. A run scores. Laureano is in. Kowser goes to second. Urias on at first, and it's 5-3 Baltimore in the fifth.
That was Keith Ratt, Odyssey Mets Radio. The Orioles cap off a doubleheader sweep, beat the Mets 7-3 in game two. In the opener, the Orioles with 3 in the eighth to erase a 1-0 Mets lead, and the Birds win 3-1. David Peterson was outstanding. A run, no runs on five hits while striking out six over seven.
Sounded
innings.
Like me there, Peter.
But yeah, well, you know, it's I
do
I
it
watch
all the time.
Every day. So
I do it all the time.
There you go.
Learn from the best.
Strike out six over seven innings, but he gets a no decision. But all was not bad for Peterson as he was named to the National League All-Star team.
Obviously, excitement, emotion, but a little shock, to be honest. You know, I kind of saw some of the guys get replaced and whatnot, and, you know, figured, put it out of my head and let the game control it. And so, yeah, I got a little caught off guard when they called me in.
And he replaces Giants pitcher Robbie Ray. He's the fourth Met going to Atlanta for the All-Star game, joining Edwin Diaz, Pete Alonso, and Francisco Lindor. The Mets open up a series with the Royals tonight in Kansas City. Manager Carlos Mendoza looking forward to the return of starting pitchers Kodai Senga and Sean Manaea.
It's a big boost, you know, getting Senga back, getting Sean back. You know, I've been saying it. They're a big part of this team, and for us to be able to get those guys before they break, obviously, is important for us. We're going to need them. So, yeah, I mean, the fact that we got Senga tomorrow, it's a good time.
Yeah, yes. Senga will pitch tonight, and then they'll get Manaea back soon, so the reserves are coming.
Eddie, in the WFA only folder, do I have Gary and Keith in there, or Keith talking about Gelbs by any chance, or did I not put it in?
So, I saw that in there before.
So this one is, I'm trying to figure out what he's trying to say. So This is them going over the upcoming Mets schedule and the fact that they're going to Kansas City. And listen to Keith's reference here for Gelbs, who's going to take over for Gary.
Has Steve got the play-by-play?
In Kansas City. Steve and Ron.
Oh, Steve, I hope you're boning up for this one.
Boning up? What does that mean?
The only thing I could think of.
He's got an erection that he gets to do the weekend series?
It's an old school phrase.
Boning up?
Yeah, right, meaning preparing. Yeah,
absolutely,
you know.
But I think the reason, and maybe I'm just spitballing here, but I view every time they go to Kansas City through barbecue, is there any sort of like ribs or like thing like that with the bone of like barbecue?
Okay.
Because because he asked about every time they mention Kansas City, not just SMY, any broad, you're going to Kansas City, I've got to have the barbecue.
Of course.
So I was listening for it, and the bone gave me enough to maybe think that could be it, but it doesn't really make much sense.
Well, if they split the first two games, then Sunday would be the rubber game.
What?
You just boned up.
Okay.
Oh, the rubber game.
I can't believe that one.
Right over my head.
Right over both of your heads.
Yeah, that's great.
Jerry? Chris?
It's actually
I guess
pretty
it wasn't
good.
As funny as I thought it was going to be.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
I got it.
I had moved off that part of it.
Yeah.
I was thinking
on the barbecue.
Yeah, well.
Whatever.
They do wear rubber gloves when they handle the meat. That is true.
That's true. I don't mean to laugh, but there was some sad news from baseball yesterday. Former Cubs and Phillies manager Lee Elia passed away at the age of 87. Now, he will forever be known for his classic rant on Cubs fans. This is April 29th, 1983. He did not like the fact that the fans were booing his players. It's about a minute or so.
No, not a minute. So
we'll play some of it.
I cut this up already, so that we wouldn't play a full minute of it.
Okay.
So if you want to, let's do it this way. I was going to do it after, but let's do it this way. Eddie, give me, rather than play the full minute, you set it up perfectly. So give me number one that we talked about earlier if you've got it.
I'll tell you one thing. I hope we get hotter than just to stuff it up them 3,000 people that show up every day. Because if they're the real Chicago fans, they can kiss my ass right downtown and print it. They're really, really behind you around here. My ass. What the am I supposed to do? Go out there and let my players get destroyed every day and be quiet about it for the nickel dime people to show up? The mother don't even work. That's why they're out at the game.
So then the next one is number two, where he's getting on them for not being employed, as he just referenced. Yeah.
They ought to go out and get a f***ing job and find out what it's like to go out there and earn a f***ing living. 85% of the f***ing world's working. The other 15 come out here. Playground for the f***ing. Rip them, mother f***ing. Rip them f***ing. like the f***ing players. Got guys busting their f***ing ass and I'm f***ing people too. And that's the Cubs? My
and then the third one, he acknowledges that they're not a good team. However, you play it.
Right now, we have more losses than we have wins. The f***ing changes that have happened in the Cub organization are multifold. All right, they don't show because we're 5-14. And unfortunately, that's the criteria of them dumb 15 motherf***ing percent to come out to date baseball. The other 85% are earning a living.
He got fired shortly after.
Yeah. Well, so they lost. They lost the game that day 4-3. Oh, the crowd that day was 9,391. And I guess what really got him going that day was that fans were throwing garbage at Keith Moreland and Larry Boa as they were making their way to the Cubs clubhouse on field after the game.
I could see him being ticked off then.
Did you ever hear the commercial? Like there was a Cubs marketing commercial that played on the radio. And they redid the commercial, or somebody on their radio network redid the commercial, including like come on out to the ballpark and see the Cubs, and they play like clips of that.
Wow.
But I can't use that one because whoever did that didn't bleep it out. I don't, you know, it's not
you
bleeped out.
You still don't know how to bleep things out.
I don't know how to bleep
things out. How long are you working here?
No one's ever shown me how to do it.
How about asking someone to show you how to do it?
I have asked, and the people I've asked apparently don't know how to do it either.
Just even if you just get the bleep sound effect off YouTube and then insert it over.
But I don't know how
you
to
don't
do
it. The volume and all that stuff?
I don't know how to do that.
Okay. If someone showed
me how to do it, I would be able to do it no problem. But I don't know how to do it. But it's a very, the commercial, if people go on YouTube, they can see the commercial or listen to it. One note from the NBA, the Pelicans and Herb Jones agree on a 3-year extension worth $68 million.
Who the hell is Herb Jones?
I don't know, but he's got a 3-year extension,
$68 million.
Jones? Sure.
Herb Jones.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have no idea who Herb Jones is.
I thought you were being
No, I have no idea.
To be completely honest, I did not know who it was when I wrote
Jones
that down.
Just got $68 million.
But I figured 3-year, $68 million. Good for him.
I
have no idea who that is.
Herb Jones.
I guess we're not keeping up with the Joneses.
No, oh, we're not.
Bad joke after bad joke. Let's see. So he's clearly a young player. He's 26. Last season, he averaged 10 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists a game. That gets you $68 million
over 3 years.
And he only played in 20 games.
Wow.
I think if you get $68 million over 3 years, even the most novice NBA person like myself should know who you are.
Yeah.
$68 million
Good
over
for
3
him,
years.
Man. God bless him. We don't have the ability to do it. He does. So his best season, the year before, he played 76 games. He averaged 11-3-2. Okay.
He's not nickel and diming.
Wow.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 10 in front of 7. If you're listening to us, that's a good thing because you can't watch us. We'll be on TV on CBS Sports Network about 7:30. C-Mac and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. I'm going to take one quick call just because it's on topic, but then I want to get back to the rant stuff real quick because I have a few I want you to hear, comparatively speaking to the Lee Ilya stuff that we just played. Just one quick one. John in Toms River. What's up, John?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, Chris, I see a future really soon in the daytime hour for you. You're great, man.
Well, thank you very much, John. I appreciate that. Kind of you.
Yeah,
we'll see.
And Jerry, I'm so glad you brought up Bolt because, man, this poor guy takes heat like you wouldn't believe. Well, I'm sure you believe it. You hear it every day. But that would be like you guys entertaining us on the radio and waking up every morning and hearing how much you suck.
Oh, we do. No, actually, we do every single
John,
day.
John, this is the first kind word I've heard in 3 weeks from you, so I appreciate it.
I will tell you, I have not really looked at Twitter X all week, because usually when I sit in this seat, it's filled with, you suck.
Yes.
Oh, my God. But anyway, I love the kid because he tries his heart out, and I'm so happy he made that slide last night. That was incredible, man.
Yeah, and I'm with you. He's a young kid. He's going to get better. I do believe all that. The one thing that I would take issue with you saying is, and he's trying hard for sure, the results haven't been there this year. So, like, on one hand, I do understand. I really do. I get the fans' frustration. On the other hand, I sit there and say, there's enough talent on this team that Anthony Volpe shouldn't be bringing this entire team down.
Correct.
And that he shouldn't be taking the slings and arrows like he does as much as he does.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this is how I feel about a lot of different guys. When they get all over guys, I think a lot of it is a way to get on Brian Cashman. I'll be totally honest with you. Like, I think because when did we start, like, this is a homegrown kid.
Yeah.
Like, and there is and I know it's been 3 years. He also had an 800 OPS in the World Series in the postseason last year, and hit the biggest hit of the one game they won, hit a grand slam home run, had a base hit off Class A that helped them win game number three. I mean, he was a good postseason player last year. He's won a gold glove. Now it's not been good enough, but the vitriol and the hate and the quick to call him a bust, I almost feel like we're not rooting for him anymore at some point. It's almost like, let's just get him off the team. It's a failure. Mm-hmm. I know it's already over. Please stop showing me this kid. Let's just move on. We passed up on shortstop free agent after shortstop free agent for this kid, and it turned out to be a bust. And all of that comes from Brian Cashman sucks, and I've had enough of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of it, because I feel like we're not even rooting for a homegrown kid anymore. We're done with him. Get him off the freaking team.
Understood. All right, so last hour or a few minutes ago, Peter was about to play the Lee Ilya stuff. So, What would you say has been the detriment of Aaron Boone to the fans? What does he do too much? Protect his players. Would you not agree?
100%, yes.
What would you say Lee Ilya was doing in that spot?
Protecting his players, okay. Absolutely.
So, Eddie, give me number four here. This is Pat Knight, who was the head coach at Lamar University, and I want to set the scene for you. I don't know what year this is, 2014 or 15, and I never heard this one until today.
Mm-hmm.
So one of his players is at the podium. He's talking after a loss.
Okay.
To where Pat Knight walks up and basically tells him to get off the stage. Go ahead, hit it.
All right, let's go. I'm next, because you don't have a clue what it takes to win. Let's go.
I'm unhappy with these seniors. That's what I'm unhappy with. It has nothing to do with X's and O's. We got the worst group of seniors right now that I've ever been associated with. Their mentality's awful. Their attitude's awful. It's been their MO for the last 3 years. To come out a game like this with no emotion, just flat.
Good. Could you imagine?
Oh my God!
And the visual of him getting up there to the podium, get out of here! You stink! Like, wow,
that is unbelievable.
Now, not cursing, nothing like that.
But
now I'm going to give you this one. I'm skipping around here a little bit. Number nine, Eddie. Again, I'm going to set the scene. This is Kevin Borsett. Now, who is he? Think this. I mean, a guy really passionate about his job. He was the head coach of Michigan women's basketball. And he is clearly upset. Now, the noise you're going to hear in the beginning is him with his fist smashing the microphone as he's approaching his seat. Go ahead.
That's how I feel. Damn sick and tired of getting out rebounded. 25 offensive rebounds. First time we block out, we get called for a damn block out. We're pushing people. Meanwhile, they're on the other court grabbing rebounds, going over the top and grabbing them. We get one offensive rebound, the other get called for over the back. We don't block out very damn well, and we're not getting called, one or the other. That's where I'm frustrated. That's where my whole frustration comes in, offensive rebounds. The entire thing came down to offensive rebound. They got every stinking offensive rebound, and we didn't get one of them. What else do you want to know?
I love the end.
Yeah, that's great.
Who's the first one that's going to ask a question after that? So that's two where they're going after their players.
Yeah.
Which is a lot different than what we
hear. A little
hear.
Bit of ref there, but no doubt. Definitely the players.
And then I'll give you the all-time. So it's pretty clear Lee Ilya is really best known, maybe not in Chicago and Philly, but around
baseball circles mm-hmm. or just fans, that's how you know him.
Yes.
And he is unfortunately going to his grave. That is how he will be remembered. 50 years from now, we're going to play that terrible audio. The classic one, and this is Al's favorite, number 7, Eddie. This is the one, as good a coach as this guy is, I'm not even going to tell you who it is, we will always remember this.
You don't downgrade him because he does everything right and may not play as well on Saturday. And you let us make that decision. That's why I don't read the newspaper. Because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. Attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right. And then you want to write articles about guys that don't do things right and downgrade them, the ones that do make plays. Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Now, he's like 58 now.
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
And the best part of that, if you've ever seen this, is the female sitting down, like, against the wall behind where he was talking.
Right.
She doesn't flinch. The entire, like, you would think people would be like wide-eyed. Yeah. She's as if this is just a random day and Mike Gundy's going off. So those were three. I have a bunch more, but not a lot of time.
I don't know if it was a rant. The one that always sticks in my head is, what did you think about your team's execution?
Tom Lasorda.
That's Tom Lasorda. Yes. Tommy Lasorda, right?
And it was Paul Olden
that
asked the question, and Dave Kingman. I actually didn't pull that one. I didn't even think of that one.
You guys are confusing two different. What
I am.
C-Mac's talking about. That was the Bucks head coach many years ago.
What'd you think of your team's execution?
And he says,
I'm in favor of it. This is Lasorda reacting to a Paul Olden question about Kingman's performance. You know, C-Mac didn't understand what you were setting up.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was asking who it was because I don't even know I forget who it was. One of my favorites. I thought we were done with the segment. I was saying one of my favorites is the coach who was asked about his team's execution, and he said, "I'm in favor of it." I thought that was one of the best.
I don't know that one.
I've ever heard.
Jim McKay, the 0-16-76 or 77 Bucks.
I don't think I've ever heard that one. That's. I thought you were referencing Lasorda and Kingman performance. And then Lasorda goes
off. Yeah, I remember that one, too. Yeah.
That's interesting. Obviously, the other ones that are fantastic is my favorite one, which I'm not going to play because we're kind of out of time, but the Mike Singletary Vernon Davis
show,
to me, is one of the best for a variety of reasons. And then, obviously, you've got the Dennis Green one.
Sure.
About the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jim Mora, not playoffs, but the one where the fans are cheering an injury.
I don't know that one.
The hell with it. We have time. It's Friday. Number 5, Eddie, if you don't mind. This one, he's not the Colts coach. He was the Saints coach.
I've been coaching for 34 years, and tonight I saw and heard one of the most disgusting, rudest, sick demonstrations in my entire career. Probably the worst. When Wade Wilson got hurt, I actually looked up in the stands and saw people standing, clapping, and cheering when he was laying on the ground with a knee injury. And I'll say this, those are some sick, sick, sick people. Mentally sick.
I would agree. Cheering an injury that sucks.
That sucks.
But I feel like that's an underrated one that
I've never heard that one.
You think Jim Mora, you think playoffs.
Yeah, of course.
So there you go. There are some good ones through the years. There's some others as well, but all out of time. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will have more on the Yankees throughout the course of the morning, but we are going to get to the Mets' disgusting day yesterday in Baltimore. And then later in the hour, we're going to discuss this thing about SNY and Yes as well, which is a very interesting story that I saw this morning.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.